You're listening to a DM podcast.
What's for dinner?
Stop licking each other.
He killed my banana.
Don't even think about it.
He's touching me.
Okay, I'm going to count to three.
Where are you?
One.
He's looking at me weird.
Ryan, where's the wine?
Don't you let me get to three.
I love you, Mummy.
Stop playing with your doodles.
This is beyond the chaos.
This is beyond the chaos.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Chaos. I am Amy Gerard, mum of three, not a professional, but I am an author.
And I'm Jen Muir, also an author. And we've just added that to our bio lines.
Yes.
Because we've both written a book.
Yeah, we're both authors now. Yep. So I can spell and write and punctuate and stuff.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. How is your book going?
Do you know what? It's going so well.
Yes.
But what is the best bit is that it's working. Like, it's working. The tips are working.
Yeah.
And the mums are telling me it's
working.
Are they
reaching out?
They're telling me, and that is just everything to me every time I hear that. But speaking of books, doesn't yours come out any second?
Yes, mine is dropping on the 3rd of April.
Oh my gosh.
Along with everything else in my life. Everything is happening on the first week of April, which also coincides with April Fool's Day. So that's who's the real fool here. But yes, 3rd of April, it is coming out. I've got a bit of a PR schedule. I'm doing a few things on TV.
I am
and
bursting to
radio.
Read this. It's going to live by my bed.
I'm a little bit nervous.
I'm going to have a bit
will
of Amy
you,
in will my
you a bit
marriage.
Nervous?
I was so nervous.
Okay, good.
I was beside myself nervous.
Like sweaty pits nervous.
You know what? You're going to feel amazing after. It's the best feeling. Once it flies, your little baby out into the world, you're going to feel amazing.
It's called Strap Yourself In.
And we are strapping ourselves in with excitement.
You got to strap yourself in for the read because you're going to learn a lot about me.
Woo!
Woo, you're going to learn a lot about my sex life.
Wow, I thought I already knew enough.
You know nothing.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay, strap yourself in, people. Coming your way.
3rd of April.
3rd of April.
All right. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, birthday girl?
It's been a very indulgent birthday week. I'm pretty sure I've gained like 4.5 kilos, but I mean, if you're ever going to pile on the weight, it may as well be in your birthday week.
Yes.
But it's been good. I don't know if you're the same, but do you have different girl groups? I've got like my mum's group, and then I've got old school friends, and then I've got the girls that I lived overseas with and did all the travelling with, and once upon a time, I used to try and combine them all and it doesn't work.
The worlds collide.
The worlds collide. And in my head, I was like, I get along with all of them. Surely they all get along, but they just don't.
Yeah, right.
And so now I split it up and my husband is like, you're a joke.
How many parties are you having?
I've been out separately with different groups 4 times.
Yep.
And then I'm seeing my family on Sunday, next week, Tuesday, I've got another dinner. I mean,
So I think some birthdays I've done the big get all the mums together.
Yeah.
There's a place near my kids' school where you can just get the whole crowd of
the
thousands
bolo?
Together. It's not the bolo. So I like to go a little bit more upmarket for my birthday, Amy.
RSL.
It's a little Italian place.
Oh, nice.
Does a nice welcome cocktail.
Oh, beautiful.
Anyway, I've done that and brought together lots of people in the past. But this year I decided to do the duck and cover birthday.
Oh,
like, just it's not happening.
Yeah.
Because I had just launched my book.
Author.
Jen Muir, author. And I just went, do you know what I want to do on my birthday? I just want to have cake with my kids.
Yes.
And I just wanted to pick them up from school. And I got a text from a friend on the actual day and she said, I hope you're out to lunch somewhere and you are not picking up your kids from school. And actually, I had just picked up my kids. And I was like, do you know what? I have just picked up my kids, but there's nowhere I'd rather be because I had had such a busy 2 weeks. And, you know, it's a bit of a forgettable one this year. So.
Well, I think for most of my 30s, all of my birthdays were duck and covers.
Yeah,
it's only this one. I don't even know why because it's not a special number. I'm definitely not 40. Jen just asked me if I was 40. Wow, just aging me by 2 years.
It's because you're reaching the end of the 30s. It's sort of downhill. The chin hairs come from 40.
Somebody actually said to me 40 is better than 30.
40 is better than 30?
Yeah.
For sure.
See?
For sure.
Chin hairs and all.
You get out of the trenches of the small children.
Yes.
You can like find yourself, but you do get an increasing number of chin hairs. I'm not going to lie to you. It's the time your person goes to do your eyebrow threading and they go, and chin as well. And you're like, oh, okay.
I actually have noticed that my entire face has got a coating of hair. Yes. Is yours as well?
Yes,
Somebody was like, you need to do the microblading. And I was like, you're essentially encouraging me to shave my face in my head.
I'm like, a man now.
I'm a man. Anyway. Then doesn't it grow back?
Well, I don't know. I'm nervous about the whole thing. But what I want to know now is what is not working in your house this week?
Okay. I've got a real doozy. Tuesday morning, Bobby comes downstairs. I'm already manic. I'm manic every morning. Doesn't matter how organised I try and be. I'm just an absolute shit show. Mum, it's Harmony Day and we needed something orange.
Harmony Day.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Do you know how many times Harmony Day has broken me?
But wait. This is why it's a fail. So I was like, I don't have anything orange. I actually hate the colour orange, right?
Yeah, it's not a nice colour.
It's not a nice colour. Orange and brown in the bin. And I was like, do I have an orange ribbon? No. Bobby's melting down because, of course, he got the Citizenship Award last year and he wants to be top tier, perfect student and wants to wear something orange.
Head to toe orange.
I was like, here, there's a baseball cap that's orange. He goes, I can't wear a cap. And I was like, okay, Charlie, have you got any orange nail polish? Anyway, frantic. I've turned the entire house upside down. Couldn't find a single thing orange. Found an orange plate. I was like, just carry that with you.
Is that what he took?
No, I went up to Big W and I bought them. I bought Bobby orange socks and I bought Charlie an orange hairband. Then I was late to school, so I had to walk them into school to get a late note. And I said to the lady, listen, I'm so sorry, but my kids were melting down. I didn't have anything orange for Harmony Day. She goes, it's not today.
Oh, no!
And I said, wait, what are you talking about? My son just told me it was Harmony Day. And she goes, yeah, sorry. I mean, I don't know where you're getting that from. It's the 21st of March. Today's the 12th.
That is just the worst.
I was like, what? Oh. Anyway.
I feel this in my soul because it's like happened to me. But yeah, go.
All of the days that need like a splash of blue and pink and orange.
Crazy
all
socks.
Piss off.
Crazy hair.
I know.
Crazy sunglasses.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
That was my fail.
Enough crazy.
There's enough crazy in my house already.
Don't need any more crazy.
What is your fail for the week?
I'm drowning in WhatsApps. Oh, I'm just drowning in WhatsApps.
Same.
And I've given up. Mm. Like, I've given up. And I know you know, we all know, there's like a WhatsApp group for every class of every child. I've got four kids. Thank God the dog doesn't have a WhatsApp group. And then every sport they do, there's a WhatsApp group. And then a couple of my kids do a social sport. And then, like, I'm drowning and, like, people that just put stuff on the WhatsApp group that's directed to one person and it goes to 250 people in a year group, like, it's just doing my head in.
I've got a WhatsApp. I've got different friends' WhatsApp groups.
You're not in kid WhatsApp groups?
Oh, no. I remove myself instantly.
So I've got a friend. She's got a rule. She will never be in a WhatsApp group with more than 10 people. The minute it goes over 10, she's out.
I actually didn't think you could add like more. Did you just say you've got a WhatsApp group with 250?
Yeah, like my son's in year nine. I'm in a year nine WhatsApp group.
What?
With 250 kids in the year. So there's potentially 500 parents on that WhatsApp group and someone might get on and say, Johnny has lost his hat.
Okay. I mean,
and I've
can you
given
mute them?
Up.
Just mute them all.
But Amy, I'm not on the school apps and I'm not in the WhatsApp.
No. You can still be in the WhatsApps, but you mute all notifications.
The notifications are muted. It's not helping. Oh. I still open it and there's 578 unread messages.
Just don't read them.
So I have this one friend and she reads the school newsletter and then she sends in a group of just five of us.
Oh my God.
Here are the top tier items.
Is this
Nick,
your angel?
Shout out to Nick. She's a different angel. Because I have different
angels.
Well, because I have four kids. So she's my year one angel. She's my youngest child. Actually, he's in year two.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Harry. Harry.
No, I'm joking. Okay. It's the WhatsApps.
All right. Okay. That's it.
That's it. That's your fail. You're drowning in WhatsApps.
I'm drowning. I'm drowning in WhatsApps. If you're listening and you have tips for the WhatsApps, tell us.
Delete the app.
Tell us. How are you managing your WhatsApps?
What's your problem? I need some help.
Okay, now we have a listener question from beautiful mum M. Let's have a listen to her question.
I don't know if you can hear that, but that is my now 3-year-old at his bedroom door, which we have a baby gate on because he's in a big boy bed. And he does that every single night before bed, no matter what we do. We have literally tried everything. He's had the same bulletproof bedtime since he was a baby, and he's been a really good sleeper. We've gone in a few times, and that was just a disaster because it would end up just elongating what was happening, the behavior that was happening. And we've also tried ignoring it, which is really hard to do, but he does eventually put himself to bed, but it's not until like after 10 or 15 minutes of just wailing at the door. I will add, he's not actually crying. He's just really loud. Like, we go in there, there's not a tear on his cheek. He's instantly smiling. This is coinciding with the fact that we have a 9-month-old baby, and I know exactly what Jen's going to say because I am a diehard fan and I follow everything Jen says to a T. And I am really conscious of making sure he and I are having loads of micro moments of connection in the day. So I just don't know why bedtime in particular is becoming such an issue if it is sibling related. It's also posing a problem because I can't put the baby down until my 3-year-old goes down because he wails at the door so loudly, baby can't go down at all and ends up crying as well. And then I've got the two of them going off and it's just absolute disaster. And I just want to bolt out the front door, sit on my driveway until they both fall asleep. And I don't know what to do. I don't know why he's doing it. I don't know what to do that I'm not already doing. And I'm really fucking scared it's going to make my baby do it as well. I don't want to have this. How do I stop it? Please help.
Oh, my goodness. I hear it. I feel it. I hear that crying. It sends a shiver down my spine. I just want to say to Em, it will not always be this hard. And I want to start by saying, crying's not contagious. So the baby's not going to catch this.
Yeah.
And Em was just saying at the end of that question, you know, why is this happening? And I think, you know, on one level, we know that it's just because kids don't want to separate from us at night.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids will still resist bedtime. It's different than when they were 3. But, you know, sometimes I think our assumption is that kids will just want to get in the car and get into bed and get into the bath and do all that stuff. And yet their job is actually to fight us on
make our life harder.
Step of that routine. So I want to actually give him a bit of a 3-step plan today. But before I...
Wow. This is service. Sorry.
This is what I do.
Yeah,
I
mean, you know what? I'm going to use this 3-step plan for my 8-year-old daughter as well.
You can. Okay. Because this 3-step plan applies to any problem that you could, like, name a problem. This 3-step plan applies. But we're not going to get there yet. First, okay. I want to just talk about what are the questions we run through when we're suddenly seeing a change in behaviour around bedtime. So we've got a 3-year-old that's crying at the door for 10 to 15 minutes, which do you think that's...
I mean, I personally don't think that that is too long. And she did mention that 10 to 15 minutes would go by and then he would put himself to bed.
Yeah.
And that if she did go into the room, there wouldn't even be tears.
Yeah.
And he would break out into a smile.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells me he's just trying his luck, right? There's a baby gate at the door, so he can't get out and he can't get to M. But he's like, I want to make as much noise because I want her, I want mum to
come
back.
Because kids want us, if they could have us, they would climb back into the womb.
Exactly right. especially little boys.
Especially little boys. Back inside. Yep. And that would be super uncomfortable, Em. So we're not going to do that. So the first thing we want to do is look at what's physically possibly going on. Mm-hmm. Often at 3, kids are due to drop a day's sleep. So I haven't talked to Em about this, but there's a possibility this is just a kid that needs to drop his day's sleep.
Oh, yeah,
and so he's just
course.
Not tired. So we want to look at physical stuff first. Is he sick? Is he run down? Is there something going on that's stopping him from settling? The second thing is we look at, well, what could be happening emotionally, because it is a change. He's had this bulletproof bedtime. So one of the biggest things is she's like, what is going on and is this going to derail everything I've built?
Yep.
And that's when we start to get really fearful as parents, and we all know that feeling. So she knows that it is a time of change for him. This baby is suddenly crawling and moving and 9 months old, and there is a part of him going, this is different. I'm watching a love affair unfold in plain sight.
Yep.
It is disconcerting. And so when kids will seek us out most is right at nighttime, because they have to separate from us for up to 12 hours maybe.
Yep.
So he is a good sleeper. He does go down, but it's really hard to say goodbye to his mum. Now, that doesn't mean she has to lie in there if that's not working for her or him. And it's not. She's got a tiny baby. She's also got to get to bed, and it is super hard. Mm. But I think having that sense is really important, because then we know how to meet it. And she's doing heaps of connection. But what I would say is kids need to let out the feeling. The feeling is it's hard. He has to have a cry at some point in the day. So it's either going to happen when you wash his hair in the bath or when you say it's time to stop playing with your Lego, or it's going to happen at bedtime.
Yep.
And bedtime's a really common one. They're going to have a big cry. And I want to recommend Janet Lansbury as well as a really great podcast around bedtimes that she could listen to for some help with this. But it is okay to set some boundaries at bedtime that work for you, that work for your child. And you don't have to be an asshole about it. We can be compassionate and kind as we say, and I know you've got this. And we kind of set ourselves up that it's going to take 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. We can also buffer the impact on the baby. She said she can't put the baby to bed. Use some white noise, use some music. I don't know if you've ever done that to sort of buffer the impact of another child.
Are you kidding? My white noise when I had Kobe was at the volume of a Russian fighter jet.
Yes,
I was like, I had like speakers in the room. It was so loud to drown out Bobby.
Okay, so my three-step plan.
Yes.
And this applies to everything. Okay, so the first step is a pre-step. So our pre-game plan, always, right? And I always talk about prep, and I will talk about prep till the cows come home. First of all, sit down with your partner and decide, what are our limits around bedtime? What are we willing to do and not do?
Yep.
How many stories are we going to read? What are the steps involved? Because we want to increase safety for this kid, and we can increase safety and connection by him knowing what's coming and what are the rules. And sometimes when our kids start to like cry at bedtime or seek us out more, we shift the rules and then they don't know what the game plan is.
Yes.
So we want to actually sit down with each other first and go, this is what we're willing to do and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to focus on it really heavily. And then we sit our child down. Now, he's three, but we will draw out, here is our three steps to bedtime. And you're going to tick them off as you go, buddy. And we talk it out in the morning, not right at bedtime. And we say, and I know it's hard when mummy says it's night-night time and leaves. And I know that also I can't wait to see you in the morning and you'll be okay. So we're letting our child have an opportunity to practice being a bit disappointed as we leave earlier in the day.
Mm.
And what this does is it brings that emotion to the frontal lobe and it lets him actually experience that emotion but not in the moment.
Yes.
It's like a practice session for emotions.
Yep.
And kids just need this. So we could do this for anything we're struggling with. If someone keeps hitting their sibling, we do a pre-game plan about what we'll do next time that comes up. So the next thing, so we've done that prep. We could even use play. So we get him to get a dinosaur out and he could put the dinosaur to bed and you could be the dinosaur going, I want to get up. And he could get the chance to be the parent saying, it's night-night time and you're safe.
Mm.
And he gets to practice that sense of being on the other side. So there's so many ways to do this, but the more you can visually show him with that plan on the wall or get a whiteboard or a piece of paper, the better it goes. The next thing we want to do is in the moment, you have to bring yourself up to be exactly what your child needs. And that means sometimes almost visualizing that you're 10 foot tall and that's your tiny child. Boom. I'm in my boundaries mode. Yeah. And we're literally just saying, I know you really wish mummy could cuddle you more and more and more, but we've done our three steps. We've ticked them off and now I cannot wait to find you in our dreams. So we might have found ways to connect with each other. But, you know, you be as cute as you can.
Yep.
Make him a pillow with your face on it, if that helps. I had a mum write in and say she made a cork board by her child's bed and it just had all photos of her face.
Well, you know my...
And he could turn over and look at it in bed. Or was that you?
No. But my middle child sleeps with my dressing gown and
you
has
see?
Done.
Yeah, because that's connection.
From a baby.
So we're trying to connect ourselves to our child but also back them. We know this kid has a bulletproof bedtime. We know it works for him and we know it ultimately works for mum who's alone with two kids and can't put the baby down until... So, you know, we know this works. So it's really about backing yourself and trusting that But you can't just expect him not to, you can't expect him not to cry. So the third thing is allowing that feeling, allowing that he may need to have a cry in order to release the endorphins that allow him to sleep. And that might be because he needs to drop that day nap. There might be a physical reason, but it might also be he's processing this baby. And at the end of the day, he's just letting out some of those feelings. And if we've allowed that early and we've allowed it in the moment, but also held that boundary, he feels safe and secure. Mm. And I think that is in the interests of everyone in this scenario. I think more broadly, like I've brought kids into my bed. I've done, you know, there's no wrong or right way to do this. And that's why that chat with your partner is so important, where you kind of agree, well, how do we want this to look? What's right for us at this stage? I wouldn't have been comfortable with one of my kids in my bed when I was breastfeeding a small baby still. But now if one of my kids comes in, I'm like, I love it. I don't mind because it's so, almost over. So there are different stages and I think she's doing great. She's doing enough connection. Go easy on yourself and know that you're not getting anything wrong. It's just normal for a three-year-old to cry at some point in the day and when you're getting it is at bedtime.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what about you?
So for me, and this is just for my own personal opinion, if my kid was crying for 10, 15 minutes, then putting itself to bed, I would not have a problem with that. I think when it is your first kid, you do like, you hate hearing that noise, right? You don't ever want your kid to cry and be distressed or be upset. I can only say now as a third time parent that like 10, 15 minutes of crying or whinging at the baby gate and then putting itself to bed, happy days. I call that a win almost because, but I also feel like you've got to do what is comfortable for you. Like I didn't let Bobby and Charlie, when they got in their big boy bed, they were always being put back in the bed. And then I had Kobe and Kobe would sleep in my bed with me every night. And then my parents were like, oh, it's about, you know, setting up a rod for your own back here, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you know what? But I get sleep, he gets sleep. This is what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sleep with me anymore.
And that's okay if that shifts over time.
Yeah. Totally. And it was a season. And I think he's probably just adjusting to, again, the love affair that he's seeing. He's probably trying it on a bit because he probably has had so much of her during the day that he doesn't like to, oh, God, now I've got to go to bed on my own.
Kids are meant to cry.
And they want to be with their mums.
Yeah, and they want to be with their mums. So it's a bit about accepting that and then deciding what we are willing to do or not do.
Yep.
And that's about what's working for me and my whole family. Like, she's not just got one child to think of. She's got two.
Yeah.
Back yourself, Em. Yes. You've got this.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
So much chaos.
We next have a question from Liv.
Hey guys, we have the classic 2.5-year-old and 10-month-old situation. Our little toddler is starting to struggle with our baby. She's an absolute angel when our baby is having her day naps, but as soon as it's time to wake her up, our toddler will start having some big emotions. She's also physically trying to push the baby away when she is approaching her toys, which I totally understand. She doesn't want the baby to mess them up, but also can't let the physical pushing happen. Another thing is she'll go up to the baby at random and will pull her hair or give her some kisses on her arms and legs and then go in for a sneaky bite. All of this is just completely new to us and we want to do our best by everyone. We're doing our best with connection for our toddler and we're spending as much one-on-one time with her as possible. We're also halfway through your book, Jen, which is amazing. The days are just seeming very long at the moment and I'm hoping for some guidance and for someone to tell me that this won't be this hard forever.
I'm just going to give my non-professional bit of advice here, and everything that Liv has mentioned is so normal. Like nothing that her toddler is doing is out of the norm. It's very, like Charlie was exactly the same. She, you know, was expressing herself like she had just had me for 2 years on her own. And then all of a sudden there was this little baby. It's exactly the same thing. Didn't want to share her toys. Didn't want me cuddling Bobby. Wanted to kind of sometimes cuddle him. But then when I was like talking to Bobby at the same time, she'd try and roll him off the lounge. Like, and then when Kobe came along, Bobby did the same thing.
It is so hard. So, and it's a bit of a theme for this episode because actually both of these mums, Em and Liv, have children at about the same age and stage. And so we're seeing that display of watching that love affair take place in plain sight happening in different kids. So we've got one child that cries at the door and just wants more of mum, which is super sweet. And we've got this other little girl who I actually love. She's like trying to be a good girl and she's kissing and then she's like actually a little bit of a chomp. It's so hard because I think the first time you go through this, you're thinking, well, I know it's normal, but also is my child a serial killer?
Oh, my God. I was just about to say this. I was like, is this where serial killer tendencies start?
This is it. It starts with the chomp on the baby's lip.
They're so violent.
Yeah. Yeah, so my eldest used to bite, like particularly after my second came along. And once he crawled up, my really good friend literally crawled up to her and she goes, oh, cute, like cute little baby. And he crawled up and like grabbed her stomach and like bit down on her stomach and drew blood. Anyway, she's never forgotten that. But I guess what I would say is to this mum, look, she's connecting really beautifully. Yeah. She's fully aware of the behaviour. She knows her job is to step in and stop that hit. So remember that your child's not going wrong or getting anything wrong because they are biting and showing that they're struggling with the baby. It's about doing your best to name that, stop that, and trust. Like if I could say anything, your beautiful kid is in there.
Yeah.
They are going to be okay. They will stop this behavior. I mean, you could do nothing and this would run its course.
Absolutely.
But you can by just being aware of it, being confident. But the biggest thing I'd say is, don't lose faith. This applies to all kids, all ages, all stages. Mm. Just when they're going through a patch, don't lose faith that that beautiful, good kid is in there. Like I think we lose that. And then if we get stuck in, and she's not doing this, but if we get stuck in threats and punishments and bribes, we've lost track of our good kid being in there. So your good kid is in there. And she is just going, I kind of want to be a good girl, but also I have these emotions. And the only way I can express them is by chomping on that chubby little leg. And it makes sense. It's a really good way to communicate, I'm not okay. Yeah. And I'm always saying to parents, yay, because your child actually feels safe to show this around you. When we see this stuff happening in our own homes, crying at bedtime, attacking siblings, this is all really healthy. It's healthy.
And
you know, kids, development takes 25 years.
You know what? My mum used to tell me stories that when I was like 2 and 3, I was such an aggressive hair puller that she ended up taking me to a psychologist because she was like, I am terrified that there's something wrong with her because I would do it to my brothers. I would pull clumps of their hair out. And I mean,
it was your sensory stuff.
Yes, it was that. But I wasn't just doing it to my brothers. I was doing it to kids at playgroup, playgrounds. And you know what? I mean, I feel like I turned out okay.
You're good. I haven't pulled my hair once.
I don't pull hair. I stroke it now. I'm in a really loving fashion. But I just think Liv just needs reassurance that what she's going through is not out of the norm. And you are not alone.
You're not alone. She said in that it just feels like it's long days. And babe, long is an understatement.
Feels.
Those days are so long. Like one day with two small children.
Goes for 500
hours. 500 hours. And it does not stay this hard forever.
No, it
gets
doesn't.
So much better. So much better. But you do get chin hairs.
This is Beyond the Chaos. What's chaos, Mum?
All right, we're going to bring it home today with our wins of the week. Talk to me. What went well in your house this week?
I want to bring hope to others this week.
Okay, Tony Robbins,
It's actually my middle name.
Oh, I love the name Hope. I actually love it.
Anyway, that aside, I want to bring hope. So our youngest child, as I often refer to him, gorgeous Harry, as sent to earth to test everything I teach, you know, had this third child that just like he's easy and compliant. And I thought, well, that's because I'm so good at parenting. Obviously.
I'm a parenting educator / author.
And then I had this fourth child who, you know, really puts everything to the test. He's going really well. So this is a kid that has struggled with separating, with regulating his emotions, with not throwing forks at his brother's heads during dinner.
Yep.
He's a kid that has big feelings and he's going really well. And he's, you know, like he's kind of getting dressed on his own every day and he's tying his shoelaces on his own. Like how amazing is that milestone? And I'm just sharing it because I think we've had lots of questions this week from people in the trenches with kids that are struggling with emotions or behaviour, and I just want to say there's like light at the end of the tunnel.
I literally did a podcast on Beyond the Likes, literally just on my own, about Bobby.
Yeah.
Because he was my very challenging, let's call him spirited, child who I thought that I was completely screwing up because I didn't know how to parent him.
And
I struggled so hard and I cried more in 1 year than I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
And he is a completely different child now. And I did like a podcast being like, it does change.
It's amazing. And I come in, I can say I've had two really hard kids, my first and my last, and two kind of easier kids.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now, you know, you sort of wonder if they're really tough in those early years, do you get a nicer patch in the tween and teen years? So far, I feel I could confirm yes, that is the
case. And what about the good kids that were good? Are they becoming a little bit more difficult? Because Charlie was the Dalai Lama and now I'm struggling.
Yes. And because they're quieter, so they kind of tend to bottle, and then maybe you have to draw it out of them, so you get different problems like worry and doubt. Anyway, so yes,
I do think that's thriving.
Harry's thriving.
Oh, we love that for Hazza.
Yep. Hey, Amy, what's working in your house?
It's not so much about what's working. It's more about a special moment. Again, it was around my birthday, and Ryan had been like, oh, you know, let's go out for dinner and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no way, not with our three kids. And so he organized this little picnic in our backyard, and he just pulled out our deck chairs and rugs, and he got like a cheese platter, and it was a really nice night. And the kids ate Nutella stuffed donuts for dinner. I did no parenting. They swam in the pool for their showers. I was getting like dance routines. They did drama performances. Aww. It was one of the best birthday nights I've had ever. Like, it was one for the books because it was so special. They were all getting along. I mean, everyone pushed each other over. Kobe likes to throw himself around, uses his body as a weapon. And he got pushed over by Charlie and Bobby. And so there was little tiddling, tattling and whatnot. But overall, it was such a special night.
Kind of moment of like, it's probably been years and years of it not, you know, not being possible to have a night like that.
Normally my kids ruin my birthdays because they're just jerks. normally they get ruined, and I mean, they absolutely ruined the morning. They were absolute dickheads for me in the morning. And then the afternoon was everything that I was hoping a nice birthday picnic with my family and my kids would be.
I love that. I also love Nutella donuts.
I don't lie. Pretty sure they ate three each for dinner.
All right. So thanks so much. That about wraps it up this week.
Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Don't forget, we get getting so many people into our private group. Like they're pouring in.
Oh.
Sometimes I'm admitting 40 people in one go.
Are you?
And we are going to start doing more with that group. So do get in there and we're going to make that happen.
We're going to have a little community, and then we should like hire a boat.
Yeah.
No.
Or share our wins and fails, and we can chat. But the other thing we're going to do is keep those listener questions coming and follow us on our Insta page.
Yes. Send us any feedback, things you like, things you want to hear more of.
Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us. Love you.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.